From a bold stunt on the Bay Bridge to burning out on San Francisco streets tonight, fed up residents are asking why they didn't hear any sirens to go with all that noise.
Super loud. The duration was notable. Went on for quite a while. 20 minutes.
A big win comes with a huge loss for the 49ers. Now the red and gold are hoping third time's the charm when it comes to their quarterback. A protest outside San Francisco City Hall over potentially lethal police robots. The big decision that could come tomorrow.
You're watching CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Hi, I'm Sarah Donchi in for Juliette tonight. Wild sideshows over the weekend, including one in the middle of the Bay Bridge and another along the Embarcadero. Frustrated neighbors tell KPIX5's Devin Feely they had to put up with a lot of noise, but the drivers apparently didn't have to deal with any consequences.
Neighbors living near the Embarcadero say that they were surprised and frankly dismayed by how noisy and disruptive the sideshow was and by how long it lasted.
Super loud. The duration was notable. Went on for quite a while. 20 minutes?
Sean Phelan says that he and countless neighbors were a captive audience Friday night to this noisy sideshow that brought traffic to a standstill on one of San Francisco's busiest thoroughfares, the Embarcadero.
I can understand the intrinsic problem with enforcement on this where, you know, you don't know what's the police don't know what's going to happen, and all of a sudden it's designed to be sudden, you know, to prevent enforcement. So all of a sudden it turns on, right? And, you know, I mean, it's going to last until it can be dispersed.
San Francisco police say they responded to the sideshow around 11:45 Friday night. And as they waited for more officers to arrive, the drivers and spectators fled the scene. No arrests were ultimately made, much to the frustration of people living nearby.
That is bold, and I haven't seen that. But that is bold. That would be concerning.
As sideshows have become increasingly common and increasingly problematic, communities and law enforcement have come up with ever more creative and aggressive ways of cracking down on them. San Jose police recently deployed more than 100 officers to encircle and ticket more than 700 sideshow participants. San Francisco police did not respond to questions about whether or not their department is likewise considering a more aggressive response to future sideshows. It appears the sideshow moved from the Embarcadero to the Bay Bridge around 1 o'clock, where it once again shut down traffic. The CHP says by the time their officers arrived, the drivers had already left. A lot of noise, disruption, and inconvenience to neighbors and drivers, and this time, no consequence to the sideshow participants themselves.
It's going to be fairly high-speed maneuvers that I can appreciate they're better than me at, but that they shouldn't be doing in a public space.
Responding in a more aggressive fashion to sideshows like we've seen in the South Bay requires manpower and in turn money, planning and foresight. And so we'll have to just wait to see if the San Francisco Police Department or the CHP adjust their tactics. In San Francisco, Devin Feely, KPIX5.
All right, how about a live look outside at the Golden Gate Bridge? Okay, traffic's not bad right now, but it's also dry. We did see rain earlier, and it sounds like we're going to see more. Paul Hagan is here with a look at that.
Yeah, some more showers tonight. There are some showers out there right now. They're just kind of scattered. So for the Golden Gate Bridge, it's still dry. The farther north you go, the more likely you are to run into those showers. Let's take a look at First Alert Doppler. The loop shows that scattered activity north of the Golden Gate, but more substantial moisture is lurking off the coast, and that is going to be heading closer to us as we head through the rest of tonight. Even a few flashes of lightning through the Central Valley today. I saw a couple of those from our Salesforce Tower camera looking to the east a little bit earlier. There's that next round of rain. Getting closer to the coast already. It's going to make its way onto the coast, but how much it holds together remains to be seen. The trend over the past several hours has been as the showers approach landfall, they kind of weaken, but we are still going to see scattered showers out there for the morning commute. Not likely going to be heavy enough or widespread enough to cause significant problems for the morning rush. I would still plan on things taking a little bit longer than usual. And then we'll see those showers beginning to quiet down by late morning. But we're going to see some moisture on top of what we've already added up with this storm system over the past couple of days. Anywhere from around a half inch of rain to almost 2 inches of rain in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And we definitely need every drop. And there are more rain chances down the line this week. We'll take a look at that with the 7-day forecast in just a few minutes.
All right, Paul, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Well, this is a look at the roads in the Sierra right now and the trees covered in snow. This is along I-80 near Kingvale. There was a lot of snow falling up there and certainly a lot of snow on the ground. Traffic has been moving, but it's been slow. Eastbound chain controls are starting at Emigrant Gap. The 49ers may have won their fifth straight game yesterday, but it was a big loss when it came to Jimmy G. He suffered a season-ending injury. Vern Glenn is here now. Okay, the drama of the season, the drama of
Jimmy
G.
They can't escape it.
I know, and it's just, you know, this ironic twist now that the guy who was picked last in the draft is now in the number one spot.
Number 262 in the NFL draft is your starting quarterback.
Uh-oh.
Wow, what a story. Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's broken foot not only affects the team with Super Bowl aspirations, it affects the NFL public opinion power landscape. And the timing was awful yesterday. Garoppolo was playing some of his best football in recent weeks, only to have another injury to derail his season. Now, by March, he will be a free agent, so there's a chance yesterday was his final game in a 49ers uniform.
Just losing him from the building for a while, that's going to be tough because he's one of the heartbeats of this team. He's a guy that a lot of guys look up to. He's a constant. He's just a constant for us.
So enter Brock Purdy, the last pick of the draft, number 262. The seventh round rookie came off the bench and got the job done. The team's Super Bowl hopes are on the shoulders of its third string quarterback. On the task at hand.
I feel like there was a little, you know, just like the whole butterfly feeling of, all right, man, like we're going in. Let's do this. It wasn't like, you know, I was out there like shaking and like, oh, shoot, what do I do?
All right, now, Purdy's 22 years old, right? Oh. He gets his first NFL start against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. Sir, Purdy was 3 months old when Brady was drafted in 1999.
I'm one of the youngins here, and even that makes me feel old. Okay, well, all right. I mean, it's a crazy story. You couldn't have written it, right?
Yeah. Now, Garoppolo did say he was open to returning in 2023, but that was before he got hurt.
I don't know about now.
Yeah.
All right, Vern, thank you so much. We appreciate it. So California's COVID numbers are up now. Tonight, the Chronicle reports Bay Area wastewater samples indicate that the winter surge, this one, could actually top last summer's Omicron wave. UCSF infectious disease specialist Dr. Peter Chin Hong says natural immunity is waning from last winter, and a lot of people still haven't been boosted. Still, he says we should expect a milder winter than the last two winters.
So what are you seeing overall is high levels of virus in the community, but because people have been exposed over and over again, it's not necessarily translating into as many seriously ill people.
California's test positivity rate is officially back in the double digits at 10.8%. The real number is probably a lot higher than that since many home tests go unreported. More backlash to a policy that would allow San Francisco police to utilize remote-controlled devices to use deadly force in special cases and as a last resort.
Defund the police!
Defund the police!
That group of protesters gathered at City Hall with banners saying no killer robots. The policy up for a final vote tomorrow would give police the power to use remote vehicles they already have in a new way. City Supervisor Dean Preston is one of the three to vote against the measure last week. He says the police department and mayor did not follow state law requiring 30 days notice of the policy.
At the very least, there are hundreds of unanswered questions that we haven't even begun to explore at the Board of Supervisors. And until we do, this ridiculous policy should not go forward.
It is for all of us to stand up and say, what is San Francisco's true values here? And these killer robots are not.
Well, the pushback has led one San Francisco supervisor to change his mind. Gordon Marr voted for the policy last week, now says he's going to vote no. Just a few hours ago, San Jose's outgoing and incoming mayors held a rally at City Hall, urging the city council to let voters decide on who should fill two vacant seats on their panel. Mayor-elect Matt Mahan says he wants a special election to keep special interests from getting involved.
This is just common sense, folks. The people should decide who represent us, not a handful of politicians.
Now, those in favor of appointing people to fill those seats argue that a special election would simply be too expensive. The city council is holding the first of two meetings tonight to decide what to do. Well, every vote definitely counted in a couple of city council races in Contra Costa County. In Antioch, it is official. Councilmember Tamisha Torres Walker held onto her District 1 seat by just 3 votes. And in Richmond, the city clerk will draw a name out of a hat tomorrow to settle the District 2 council race. That's after the contest between Andrew Butt and Cesar Zepeda ended in a tie. So why no runoff? Election officials there say it would have been too expensive. Governor Newsom lays out his plans to punish gas companies who unfairly raise their prices, but why experts say it may not bring down prices at the pump. And more turmoil for Twitter as some of its ex-employees take legal action.